Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
Varies by location, U.S. only.
Coming up on the Gym Class here on KGYM, it is a resumption of the men's basketball season in the Big Ten Conference for the Iowa Hawkeyes on the road tonight. We will check in with Mike Halas. We'll talk Outback Bowl with Mike as well. We'll talk more college basketball. Kevin Lehman will talk and preview Iowa's game tonight. Take a look back at the three games last night. It's coming up on a busy edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Sunny and 44 right now here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. We welcome you in to this January 3rd edition of the Gym Class at KGYM. 1600 AM, the historic main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. We are presented by Third Base Brewery, located at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. They are locally owned and operated. Great place for you to stop on by after work. Take the family out for a delicious meal. Whatever your plans are, stop on by and have them include Third Base Brewery. Again, Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Plenty to get to on the show. A lot of college basketball talk coming your way today as Iowa gets back into the Big Ten schedule. Yes, remember, two games underneath them already, both losses, which makes this game tonight very key. We'll talk with Mike Halas here in about 5-6 minutes or so, as he will join us live from West Lafayette as the Hawkeyes get ready to take on the Purdue Boilermakers. And then more basketball talk coming your way with Kevin Lehman, the coach. We'll do that in the back half of the program here today. We have the first shots of the 2019 PGA Tour. They are behind us now. The first birdies are behind us. Cameron Champ, by the way, rookie of the year from a year ago, with the first birdie on the PGA Tour this year. I know it's a wraparound, and I know there were events prior to this, but this, for us, for people that follow golf, this is the start of the golf season. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It does start the calendar year, and two events in Hawaii to start this portion of the season.
That means primetime golf,
that
Mark.
That does mean primetime golf. And juggled between your game tonight, which is a terrific one,
yep,
on the radio, Purdue, Iowa, and golf, it's going to be a busy night.
Going to be a busy night. Yes, we got a great high school basketball game to get back from the holiday break for you tonight. It'll be Dubuque Senior at 9th-rated Cedar Rapids Prairie tonight. All three frequencies at 7:30 coming your way this evening right here on KGYM, KGYMradio.com, KGYM Radio app as well. Noah Carter, of course, for Dubuque Senior, the UNI signee, averaging over 25 points a game, about 8.5 rebounds. You got the Murray twins for Prairie, young Burkle, the freshman center, Harrison Cook, headed to play Division I baseball for Kentucky. There's a lot of talent on the court tonight over at Prairie High School.
No question, and it's a pivotal game in the conference. Whether these two teams face each other down the road, I think they do, don't they?
No, only meeting.
Only
in
meeting.
The regular season.
Okay. Your chance tonight to go out and take a look at it. If you can't, tune in. 7 o'clock on KGYM.
7:30 tonight on KGYM, and that it should be a fun night. Prairie is the only undefeated team remaining.
Yeah.
And they have a one-game lead on Senior in the Mississippi Division. So we'll have that game for you tonight right here on KGYM. We're going to talk to Mike Halas. That'll be coming up here in just a little bit. Iowa at Purdue tonight. Before we get to that, real quick, last night Iowa State goes on the road, did what they had to do last night. If you're going to be in the upper division or challenge for the Big 12 championship, you're going to have to go on the road and beat Oklahoma State this year, because that's more than likely the number 10 team in the 10-team league right now.
Yeah, not a very good basketball team, but you and I and others know how difficult it is to win.
What has happened to Gallagher Iba, though?
It was empty, wasn't it?
There were like 2,000 people there last night
for
that game.
Poor crowd.
Horrible.
Iowa State didn't play its best, and we'll talk to Kevin Lehman about it. But any win on the road is a good win. And that's what Iowa's seeking tonight.
And Iowa has to get this game tonight. If you want, it's about getting in the upper division. We know that. It's about getting into the NCAA tournament. Iowa has not won a conference championship since 79-ish, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the Lute Olson era back then, Iowa has to, if they want even a shot at it against the Michigan States of the world and whatnot, they're already two games behind them.
They have to win 10 out of the last 18 games to get to 500.
Exactly. And 0-3 is not a terrific start. And then you add to that, and I know it's more than a sports story. It's a human interest story, so many levels to it. But it's going to be such an emotionally charged atmosphere tonight in West Lafayette because Tyler Trent's tragic passing a couple days ago. He's going to be honored many ways before the game. Both Iowa and Purdue are going to be wearing warm-up shirts honoring Tyler Trent. It'll be very emotional tonight at Mackey Arena, certainly. And you just look at it from the basketball standpoint, that's not going to help the Hawkeyes because Purdue is going to be – they are going to be wanting to win this game tonight.
Yeah, I'm sure that to a certain extent. And I think it's terrific that Purdue and Iowa are going to acknowledge Tyler Trent's life and his passing by wearing these warm-up jerseys. Once the ball tips off, I don't know that it's, you know, that emotional transfer over 40 minutes. It depends on what happens in the game, I think. But certainly it's going to be a supercharged atmosphere at the outset.
It is. So we'll talk about that with Mike Colasi, and we'll talk about it with Kevin Lehman coming up here in just a little bit. Where was that UNI team the entire non-conference outside of the trip down to the Caribbean?
Mm-hmm.
Shot it well, and UNI played their usual defense and beat Bradley by 18. There have been good UNI teams that have made the tournament that haven't won at the Peoria Civic Center. They go over there and knock off the Braves last night. Drake nearly got a big one on the road at Evansville. Fell in double overtime last night, so... Conference basketball is here. It's off and running, and great to see. Some very good games last night.
Yeah, Drake with the best non-conference record in the Valley at 11-2 and dropped that opener. Not the end of the conference season by any means, but Drake had a couple opportunities to win that game on the road, but we'll start 0-1 in the league.
On the road, though. On the road in Evansville. 319-366-1600. That is Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line. You're invited to join us via the text line. The phone line as well. That is the same number again, 319-366-1600. We'll tell you what happened in the lanes last night as well before 4 o'clock and a whole lot more. But we're going to take a break, come back. Mike Colasi will join us live from West Lafayette, Indiana. We'll talk about the Iowa-Purdue game tonight. We'll talk and look back at the Outback Bowl. Mike, of course, was there. Iowa knocking off Mississippi State. It's all coming up in the Gym Class here in KGYM.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Winning teams have one thing in common. A great lineup you can count on to deliver. It's the same with KGYM and Smart FM. When you need solid, smart sports talk, your starting lineup on the Gym Class is Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. And when you're looking for smart rock, Smart FM features an all-star lineup of Just John, Greg, Rick, Glenn, and Cecily. Smart sports on KGYM and smart rock on Smart FM. A solid lineup to get you through every season.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
TCB Pool Hall isn't one of those joints with a table stuck in the back for atmosphere. Nah, TCB Pool Hall is legit, straight-up pool with 10 regulation full-size tables you rent by the hour. They've got a darn respectable beer selection, too, with 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. TCB isn't the place the kiddies play. You gotta be 21 to get in here. So skip the nonsense. Hang out, play pool, and drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Pet Mall, downtown Iowa City.
Kyle likes our music. Coming back. Paris. West Lafayette has been called the Paris of Indiana, so that's why we came back with that. I like West Lafayette, but we've got a good friend that lives over there, so been there many, many times. Played some good golf in West Lafayette over there at the golf complex over there, which is one of the best in college golf over there. They've hosted many big-time tournaments. And Iowa and Purdue are going to be going at it tonight. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Outback Bowl. We got a poll question before we bring in Mike Halas.
Yes, we're putting 2018 football season to bed and already looking forward to 2019, at least some folks are. We ask you at KGYMradio.com, the email's Hideaway poll question, who would you rather be in 2019? Would you rather be Kirk Ferentz or Matt Campbell? Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. I guess all I'd say about that is my answer today might be different than it would be on January 14th, the day that players must declare for the NFL draft. Each team has a couple, three players that are exploring those options.
I would agree.
Wouldn't mind being either one of them, really.
I wouldn't mind being the agent of a lot of these guys if they do decide to turn pro. Mike Halas joining us from West Lafayette, Indiana, as Iowa and Purdue get ready to go at it tonight. The resumption of the Big Ten basketball season for the Hawks and the Boilermakers. That is locally a 6 o'clock tip-off, just past 6 o'clock. So you're probably not at beautiful Mackey right now, are you, Mike?
I'm pretty close.
Pretty close. Square in the beautiful campus of Purdue University, then.
I'm close to it. I think I'm on campus. But I pulled over when the phone rang, so it doesn't matter where I'm at. When you guys call, I stop what I'm doing.
Appreciate that.
Appreciate that, Mike. The pregame is going to be something special, as you wrote about the Tyler Trent tribute, each team wearing the warm-up jerseys and... How much that plays into the game, I guess, is open to speculation, but it should be a touching tribute.
Yeah, it's a national story, but it's an extremely big deal here. I picked up a copy of the Lafayette newspaper, the Journal and Courier. The entire front page was devoted to Tyler Trent. About three quarters of the cover of the sports section was, and inside stories. It's just one of those phenomenons that sort of came out of nowhere. A few months ago, but it was organic. It wasn't some clever publicity stunt or somebody looking for attention or anything like that. It wasn't unseemly. It was. And that's why I think it grabs people, because it was the kid was real, and as opposed to being full of self pity, and why I can't catch a break, like a lot of us would be, myself certainly included. I'm sorry to say, this young guy was basically okay. I'm going to make the most of the time I've got left. Draw attention to cancer research, try to direct people and encourage people to contribute to that, to be aware of it, and to basically live out his life, spend each day living it as opposed to just existing.
Yeah, and do yourself a favor, everybody. Go buy the book and help out as far as cancer research and whatnot. That's what he was trying to put out there in the last remaining months of his life out there following Purdue Athletics and getting to go down and see the bowl game and whatnot. But like Mark said, it's I guess it's almost second level to talk about how this is going to affect the Boilermakers or the Hawkeyes in this game tonight. It's going to be a charged atmosphere, and Purdue's going to come out, you got to think, loaded for bear in a game that Iowa really needs to have to avoid 0-3.
Yeah, I don't read too much into, you know, pregame celebration of life to what goes on the basketball court. I think that once, you know, the ball's up in the air, it's just guys playing basketball. But you're right about it. It'll be a charged atmosphere, I would think. But every Big Ten game's important to both teams. You know, I mean, last night I caught the second half of Nebraska at Maryland, and they're playing like they were, both teams were playing for an NCAA tournament berth. Mm-hmm. Who knows? At the end of the season, you might say that that game put Maryland in the NCAAs. It's just, we don't know. But they play 20 conference games, and that's a lot. But sometimes the difference between NCAA and NIT is, you know, fiber thin, and it's what did you do on the road? What did you do in games decided by one score? Or did you get consistently whipped, which, you know, is a recipe for getting bounced out of the tournament, no matter what your record is. If you can't go on the road and compete, that gets noticed. If you do go on the road and compete, that gets noticed. Iowa didn't compete whatsoever on the road last year, with the exception of a big comeback at Illinois and a comeback that just fell short at Minnesota. The rest of the time, it got routed. And it went to Michigan State a month ago today and got routed. Iowa can't get routed in too many more Big Ten road games because you're expected to win at home. Tonight is one of those games that people look at and say it's winnable. But if you have to pick an underdog, I think it's Iowa.
Well, Purdue is a 9.5-point favorite. Do you buy that, or are you going to fade that?
I wouldn't touch it. But I will tell you, I would be surprised if the Hawkeyes win. First of all, I don't know what Luka Garza's status is. We never seem to know until game nights. Secondly, even if he plays, you know, he hasn't played in 2 weeks, and his ankle's obviously not 100%. And then Purdue's 8-5, but it's a good team. I mean, it's not the Purdue of last year. The team that came into Carver last year was really good, and they just lit Iowa up that night. They made 23-pointers. That was in the middle of a 19-game winning streak, which is the kind of thing that most teams can't fathom. They lost a bunch of guys from that team. They lost Vincent Edwards. They lost the big guy, Haas. They lost three or four guys. So they're rebuilding. They play five or six freshmen in their rotation. They're not a great team, but they've got one of the best players in America, Carson Edwards. I mean, he's been you know, absolutely dazzling so far. Second in the country in scoring, makes three-pointers left and right, and is, you know, a good team guy. He gets a lot of assists and steals. So this is going to be a tough one.
It is going to be a tough one. Iowa coming off the a little bit tougher than expected win over Bryant last Saturday, but completes a undefeated non-conference season. First time that has been done since the 80s. By the way, George Raveling was coaching the Hawkeyes back then. So a little bit of momentum coming in for Iowa. And I don't know, how do you see in your crystal ball how this thing is going to play out here? The $64,000 question.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'm not overly optimistic. I think the league's much better than it was a year ago. Purdue's not better, but a lot of other teams are. Or they're still good. Wisconsin's better. Indiana's better. Michigan's still good. The national runner-up. Michigan State's still good. You know, Nebraska, Maryland, competitive teams. Ohio State, and on and on and on. Minnesota, I'm impressed with to some degree. So the Iowa's record, I'm not sold on it. I mean, they've played a lot of flotsam and jetsam. You know, they're in the Big Ten. The two games that have mattered most on their schedule, they're 0-2.
Yeah.
And they lost serve at home against Wisconsin, which that's tough, you know, because that's when you got to get back somewhere. And they got routed at Michigan State, and it was the same old song and dance up there. So until they show me something on the road, I guess I'm right now I don't have them as an NCAA tournament team.
Michael Oss, Gazette columnist, live from West Lafayette, Indiana. Mike, you're fresh off the Outback Bowl, and you and I have covered a lot of games in our careers. I think back of Iowa 6, Penn State 4 back in the day, but this had to be among the weirdest games.
Yeah, bizarre. It really was. I mean, okay, the number that leaps off the box score is minus 15 rushing yards.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that ties a record low for worst rushing performance by anybody in a bowl game, at least anybody that won one. And then 190-some yards total is an all-time Outback Bowl low, and they've been playing that thing in one form or another since the 80s. And it's okay. Where was the offense? Except they had three touchdown passes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the difference of the game, as anybody who watched it from start to finish knows, is Iowa didn't beat itself, and Mississippi State did beat itself. I know Stanley had a pick, and Smith Marset fumbled a kickoff, but Iowa didn't make one single penalty. Mississippi State had a receiver who couldn't catch a pass in the end zone that, you know, basically hit him in the hands. Karam's perfect way to Jake Gervais, who was, you know, alert enough to just grab it out of the air, and that changed the game. I think that play won the game. And the penalties, Iowa with none, Mississippi State with nine. They had some bad ones, and they didn't look like a disciplined team. And sometimes, you know, it is a team game. When Iowa beat Nebraska, the defense got gouged quite a bit in the second half, but the offense bailed them out. Well, this time it was the defense's turn to win, and that's exactly what it did.
Yeah, and the defense, you take a look at the numbers, and it gave up nearly 200 yards of rushing, which you would think putting that together with minus 15 for the Hawkeyes was not going to bode well, but again, it was just kind of the same old thing. They bent a little bit, didn't break a whole lot, and then
there was a first and goal at the 1 or 2, and Mississippi State ended up with a field goal.
Three chances to get a yard and a half and couldn't do it.
Right. But, I mean, you know what? Okay, I'm not to throw cold water on it, because I think it's a great win for Iowa. But it's a game of 8-4 teams. And when you know, 8-4 teams in major conferences in reality are 5-4 teams. In most cases, maybe 6-3, depending on their non-conference schedule. Iowa beat Iowa State, so I count that. But Mississippi State clearly had a deficiency, and that was called offense. Yes, they can run for 175, 200 yards a game, but the passing game's terrible. And so Iowa's defense played well enough to win. And, you know, had it been against a different opponent with maybe a more well-rounded attack, who knows what happens. But you play against whoever you're scheduled to play. And Iowa's defense, I thought, game plan for this game very well. And the offense didn't get it a lot done, but it also didn't get them beat. And again, you know, Stanley to easily 75 yards. Mississippi State hadn't given up a play like that all season.
Your colleague Mark Morehouse wrote about Mississippi State players throwing shade to Iowa players in a children's hospital. Was that a thing?
Apparently.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was, you know, Iowa typically sends guys to these bowl events who, you know, the same guys who are driving the Zamboni at the Tampa Bay Lightning game every time they come here, they're not putting their starters out there. It's like, don't do anything that's not on a practice field, starters. You guys stay off your feet. Well, apparently Mississippi State sent some of its best players on this hospital visit, and Iowa had, you know, walk-ons and freshmen and so forth. And these Mississippi State guys are talking up silliness. So I guess they were saying, pointing at each other and going, "All America, All America, All America," and then pointing at Iowa's guys, and I don't know what they said about that. I was not at the thing. So that was that actually happened, and of course, it wouldn't be sports if, you know, a team didn't take great offense at that, which Iowa apparently did. But you know what? The game starts, and do you need to be more motivated? Maybe you do. I guess you grab everything that's out there. You use everything you can. It wasn't Mississippi State's All-Americans that got them beat. It was their offense.
Mike, I appreciated you going outside the box and not do the press conference, player interview type thing. You actually went out and attended a Mississippi State event a day or two prior to the game. How much different, if it was, than maybe a Hawkeye rally?
Less attended.
Yeah?
Mississippi State didn't have a lot of people there. A
lot of cowbells.
Yeah, it only takes a few of those to sound like a lot. But I mean, they had the announced attendance was 40,000, which was an all-time low for that game. And Iowa had been to five of these before, and the poorest crowd of any of the five was 51. So I think there was some Iowa fatigue, but more than that, Mississippi State, first of all, their fan base just isn't that big. There are two SEC schools in a state that's, you know, populated probably about the same as Iowa. And what somebody told me, a Mississippi State fan, super fan basically, told me is that some of their fans have to make choices. They have a women's basketball program that's sensational, that's been to Final Fours. And some people say, well, I'm going to save my money and follow them in the tournament. Some people say, well, we might go back to the College World Series. I'm going to save my money and hope that happens. And then they've got football fans. And they're, you know, they play in a 62,000-seat stadium. And, you know how it is. Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, It's sort of like Iowa's story. You know, I mean, you're playing in a big stadium and you've got great fan support, but when you compare it to the Giants, it doesn't seem so great. So there just weren't that many Mississippi State people to draw from, and as a result, and plus, it's just a thing all over the country. People just aren't traveling to these bowls as much as they used to.
No.
There's genuine hatred towards Ole Miss, though. Genuine.
Oh my gosh.
Huh?
Just mentioning it, and you had to just about say, now, I assure you, I have no connection to Ole Miss whatsoever.
Yeah, the Egg Bowl gets a little nasty at times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like,
it's, you know, it's funny. If you asked them if they'd rather beat Ole Miss or Alabama, I think that they'd say Ole Miss.
They would. And again, it all goes back. Every year when Iowa State rolls around and people think, oh, this is such a brutal rivalry.
No,
I go, no.
Isn't.
No, you people have. It's a Sunday school picnic compared to a lot of these.
Yeah, I know. It's a funny, it's an amazing thing in some places how they put a significance on it like we just don't really understand.
No. The after effects of the Outback Bowl. Iowa has three players that could go pro with Nelson and Hooker and Hawkinson, and the speculation begins now for the next 11, 12 days till the papers are filed. And I'm with you, just what you wrote, what I know about T.J. Hawkinson, it sounds like I think he's probably headed off to the NFL and to make a lot of money on Sundays.
Well, giving his jersey to his brother
exactly.
Is like the wrestler leaving his shoes in the ring.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep. That's a real good analogy.
You agree?
I think he's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's gone. He said he knows what he's going to do. And, you know, look, if he knew he was going to stay at Iowa, he would have said so. Also, he was so emotional. I know they pour their hearts and souls into these games, and when they win, they celebrate. But he was in tears. And he hugged a lot of teammates after that game. And I think the implication was, you know, this is our last one together, and I'm going to miss you, and I loved you playing with you. The other two, if I had to bet, I'd say Hooker goes, Nelson stays, but I don't know anything to back either one of those up. Hooker said he was going to go home and talk to his family about it, which to me is code for I'm leaning towards leaving. That's my interpretation, and there's no science behind it. I didn't get to Nelson, but Nelson says he's undecided. There are a lot of good pass rushers supposedly in this coming draft, but I think Nelson's a real good one too. So I don't know. Right now I would bet on Nelson staying, but I don't have anything scientific to back that up.
No, I would agree with you. I think it could be one out of three. And much like baseball, if you hit 333, I think you're doing pretty good. And I think Iowa might take that.
Yeah, except you got to remember that it would actually be one out of four because Fant's gone.
Well, true. Yeah. How quickly we forget about Noah Fant.
Now you're just a utility man.
Now I'm just a backup.
Well, good defense. 250 hitter with a good glove. They can still find a place.
Darn right. Make a little cash. Make a little cash out
just,
there.
They're just not exciting to go watch. But, well, you know, it's a tough thing if they do lose a couple more guys, but it's also the price you pay for having good players.
Exactly.
And it's a nice problem to have, and Iowa State's wrestling with the same thing with Akeem Butler and David Montgomery. Will they lose both or just one? And you hate like crazy for either one to go, but you also realize they were a cut above the average player. And you got to have them for 3 years.
Real quick, how are you going to remember the 2018 season? Was it satisfying with a bowl win? Was it solid, not great? Was it a season of what-ifs? What was it?
A season of what-ifs, but it wasn't a cave-in. They did win 9 games. They did win a bowl game when they blew a lead against Nebraska. They summoned up what they needed to do to win that game at the last second. They lost 3 games by 6-2 and 4 points and theoretically should have gone to Indianapolis. I think the West Division was ripe for the picking. They didn't do that, so that's disappointing, but they didn't have an avalanche. It didn't turn into a 7-6 and a lot of hostility at the end of the season. And they did beat a good team in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
I've downgraded their offense, but that was a nationally ranked team. That was the number one defense in America. Some of those guys on that Mississippi State defense, you're going to be seeing play for 10 years in the NFL. I mean, really good players. Jeffrey Simmons is fantastic.
Yeah.
Montez Sweat's good. I mean, really good. And they're not the only two. So that, to me, that was the signature win of the season. And when you get that in the last game, it tends to have a much better way to go out. Now, the question is, what lies ahead? I think the Big Ten West is going to turn into something. And real quick, I think Wisconsin had an unusual season this year. Northwestern's got a nice program. Purdue, Minnesota, and Nebraska are going to have to be reckoned with. So I think it's going to be a real interesting division for some time to come.
And 4-1 in the bowl season for the Big Ten West. So there you go.
Yeah. But you know what? Next year, Iowa's road schedule is Iowa State. And I don't know the correct order about the others, but Michigan, Northwestern, Wisconsin, and Nebraska. Those are the road games.
Tough. Very tough out there. Enjoy Mackey Arena. Enjoy Mackey Arena tonight, Mike, and safe travels. And we'll talk to you soon. Talk to you Monday.
All right. Happy New Year to you and your listeners.
Happy New Year to you, Mike. Appreciate it. 3:38. We'll take a break, come back. Kevin Lehman is going to join us. Talk some college basketball with Kevin when we return after this. So listening to the Gym Class here in KGYM.
Ask yourself, if you built a van for your business, where would you start? At the beginning, of course. With the people who invented the work van over 100 years ago, Mercedes-Benz. You'd give your new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter advanced technology and safety to keep you connected and protected. You'd make it available in diesel and gas, and there would be thousands of configurations and upfits to choose from. You'd build it right here in the USA, because your one-of-a-kind business deserves nothing less than a van that's built for you. Introducing the all-new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, the safest, most innovative Sprinter yet, starting at just $33,790. Built for you, the all-new Sprinter, built in the USA. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Equipment described as optional. 2019 Mercedes-Benz Sprinter available soon.
Coming tonight on NBC, from Dwayne Johnson, it's the Titan Games.
When we started, I had one thing in mind. Create the most insane athletic competition ever devised. Every challenge is inspired by the workouts that have fueled me. We have truck drivers, firefighters, people from Wall Street, everyday men and women who always had the ability but never the chance to unlock their full potential. This truly is the challenge of a lifetime.
The Titan Games premieres tonight on NBC.
At AutoZone, we're all about getting you the products you need so you can rely on your ride to perform, especially in the coldest conditions. If you want a battery you can rely on no matter the elements, go with Duralast. They're specially made to help your vehicle power through even the coldest weather. Duralast, proven tough and available only at AutoZone. Visit any of our 5,500 locations nationwide and let us do more for you. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
3:40, back with you here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk about the top sports stories of 2018 with you out there. Looking forward to that, and then we'll have the Pick 6 brought to you by Emil's Hideaway coming your way tomorrow as well. Reminder, Minnesota Twins Caravan is on the road, and once again, will be making a stop here in Cedar Rapids on Wednesday night, January the 23rd, for the 23rd annual Hot Stove Fundraiser with the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Doors will open at 5:30 at the East Bank Venue and Lounge, downtown Cedar Rapids. Tickets $50, include a dinner, silent auction, and a panel talk emceed by Twins radio broadcaster Corey Provis, along with the Twins Minor League Player of the Year, our own Alex Kirilloff. And the proceeds will benefit the Colonels Take the Lead Community Initiative and the Colonels Foundation. So make your plans to be there on January the 23rd. Make your plans to join Kevin Lehman as he talks with us here, talking college basketball with you on the Gym Class on this Thursday on KGYM. Happy New Year to you, Kevin.
Hey, same to you guys, Mark and Scott. And I got to tell you, I'm sitting there right now in the driveway of one of my properties watching a squirrel trying to get back into a hole I just plugged up.
How's that working for him?
Well, I got the spy on him. He's thinking it over. He's going to try and get back in.
An adage like the Iowa Hawkeyes tonight, trying to get a victory.
You know, they always said when I got in the broadcast, to make sure you keep your day job, and I've done that.
Well, let's look back to last night before we start talking about the Hawkeyes and getting back into the Big Ten. I started off the show saying Iowa State, good win last night, but it is one that they needed to get, because if there is one you're going to get on the road this year, it probably should be Oklahoma State, because they're probably number 10 in the league out of 10 teams in the Big 12. Do you agree with that? And how? Just talk about that Iowa State win last night.
Well, no question, Scott. You take this one and go home and put it in the W column, because Oklahoma State's going to beat somebody down there at home. Probably a couple teams. And this is an Iowa State team. I don't think they played really well, but they got the lead. They turned back every challenge that Oklahoma State threw at them. And they didn't shoot the ball very well. But to win on the road, get yourself to the free throw line. Don't turn the ball over. And that's what Iowa State did. Steve Prohm, his formula was go 5-4 on the road and win everything at home, and you got your a chance to challenge Kansas for the league title. First step in that process. And I thought
they did what they had to do to win a game.
What got into Northern Iowa last night, Kevin?
Mark, I had a feeling you were going to ask me that. I've seen them 12 times, and that is the biggest shock across the league. I thought Drake might have some trouble at Evansville because that's a hard place to play, and they're on the road. But the way that you and I handled Bradley, controlled tempo. But here's the thing, guys. You know, they say if the captain of the ship panics, the ship's going to be panicking. Ben Jacobson never had any panic. You know, I had the game against Stony Brook, and Stony Brook's a really good team.
Yeah.
Grand Canyon's a good team. They did not play well enough to win those games. They didn't shoot it well. But there was no panic in Ben Jacobson. It's kind of like, you know, move on and we'll get better. And that's the way he's always coached. And I still think teams, they don't want to play the Panthers no matter what their record is.
You got a lot of contributions from a lot of different players last night, Kevin.
Well, and Justin Dahl, who saw a little time, came in and played really well for him. I think he was 3 for 3 from the field. And, you know, Dahl is a 6'11", big body. A lot of teams, you can't play him. But there's some teams in the Valley. He's going to be a good matchup. Isaiah Brown, guys, he held Darryl Brown 1 for 7 from the field. And you think back, Aaron Taylor, who led the Valley in scoring last year, in Arch Madness, Isaiah Brown held him 1 for 13, and he was averaging like 24 games. So Isaiah Brown stepped up big time. And Brown was a guy, Mark and Scott, that was struggling with his game. He wasn't making shots. He was taken out of the lineup, stepped up big in this game. And Wyatt Lohaus has been on a great streak for the Panthers.
Yeah, and like we said also at the beginning of the show, there have been, you and I, NCAA tournament teams and conference championship teams that haven't won over in Peoria. So that was a big win last night.
Oh, huge win. You know, and this is a Bradley team that was picked 4th in the league, had 4 of their 5 starters back. Elijah Child's a great player, and they doubled him every time he touched it. I think more surprising than Northern Iowa winning there, Scott and Mark, was that they did it so easily. They controlled this game from about 10-minute mark on, 10-point lead at half, never relinquished it, and actually played better in the second half.
Well, Drake had the best non-conference record of any team in the Valley going into the opener at Evansville. You mentioned that being a tough place to play. I didn't see it. I looked at the box score, and what stood out like a sore thumb was 5 out of 27 from three-point range for Drake.
Well, what happened, Mark, about 10 minutes into that game, because I watched a lot of hoops last night. I had them on the TV. I had them on my computer. Nick Norton hurt his knee early in that game. 20 minutes. And Nick Norton has had a number of ACL tears. He's had 2 before this. They carried him off the court. So I didn't hear how bad it is. But they played the whole second half and 2 overtimes without their point guard, the guy who's leading the league in assists and one of the best 3-point percentage shooters. So Garrett Sturts, a walk-on, I think he's from Grinnell, led the state in scoring last year, stepped up and had 9 points. But he had to play the point guard position for Drake. Gutsy performance. They had a couple of chances to pull that out. McGlynn was great again, Tramell Murphy. But Evansville, you know, Walter McCarty is the new coach there, came from the Boston Celtics staff. And his assistant, you would know, Todd Licklider,
yeah,
the assistant at Evansville. But Drake almost pulling out on the road. Of the 5 games last night, you and I is the only one to get a road win.
Yeah, Gaines and Licklider reuniting last night, huh?
Yeah, there was, yeah. It was a nice little Hawkeye reunion in Evansville, Indiana.
Yeah. I got to see Sturts. He's a Newton kid, and I did get to see him at the state tournament. This kid can flat out fill it up.
Well, he's a walk-on. Yeah, Newton, I think I mentioned Grinnell. And I've seen him play, and he's kind of a late pickup for Darren DeVries, but he has really played well for the Bulldogs and hit a step up huge in this game. Had 9 points and a couple of assists. But Nick Norton, hopefully he's going to be okay, but did not look good when he went down.
Yeah, that's too bad. And getting the conference season started, one team I kept an eye on last night was Oklahoma, because I wanted to see how they were going to do down at Allen Fieldhouse, because Oklahoma was 11-1, very gaudy, got into the top 20. I wanted to see how they were going to fare on the road, and they did lose that game, but they held in there pretty good against Kansas.
Well, you know, we talk about Kansas, and they've won a number of games rather close games. They're not dominating like they have in the past. And, you know, Iowa State's got them this weekend. If you're Iowa State, I'm sure you would wish that Cameron Lard and Wigington had got a few more games under the belt before Kansas came to Hilton. But, you know, Bill Self knows what he's walking into. This is going to be a great atmosphere in Hilton Coliseum with the Jayhawks coming in.
We earlier talked to Michael Oss live from West Lafayette, Iowa at Purdue tonight, resuming the Big Ten Conference season. And you can't understate it enough. Iowa needs this win, but can it get one as a 9.5-point underdog?
You know, that surprised me, Mark. I heard you talking with Michael Oss. I didn't realize they're that big of an underdog. It's surprising for an Iowa team that's, you know, ranked top 25, but Purdue and Mackey Arena is a tough place to play. I see that Matt Painter is 8-1 against the Hawkeyes in Mackey Arena in his career over there. And Carson Edwards, we know quick guards that make threes give the Hawkeyes problems, and they've got one of the best in Carson Edwards. And, of course, Ryan Klein can knock in three balls too. And you know, they've got a lot of things going for them. I heard you mention about the young man, Tyler Trent, is going to be honored before and during the game. And, you know, it's neat to see the Hawkeyes get involved in that. That's what college basketball, college sports is about. But certainly that's going to be a big emotional lift from the start for the Boilermakers.
Who's going to try to guard Carson Edwards tonight? It's probably going to be a combination, certainly, but you got to think it's going to be Isaiah Moss. You got to think it's going to be some Wieskamp out there. Connor McCaffrey is going to get his shot, I think, as well. And if they can corral, you don't have to really shut down Edwards, but if you can corral him a little bit, they're an awful young team, talented but young, and I think Iowa has a shot then.
Well, the interesting part, when you ask about matchups, and I've learned this recently, Scott, is when I prepare for a game, I go to shoot around, I don't ask coach about matchups anymore because there's so much switching. There's so much on-ball screens, big on little, the way they play that. A lot of teams are playing four guys with a five-man, four guards, basically, and they'll switch those four positions. Some will switch all five. So I think you're going to see a little bit with the Hawks, too. You got to put size on him. He's 6'1". You might even see Nicholas Bear on him. But there's so many switches in a half-court offense that, you know, Cook's going to end up on him some. Wieskamp, as you said, Moss, which in those situations, it's much like I'm watching teams defend A.J. Green. You got to know where he's at all the time. You can't miscommunicate if there is a switch, which you do defensively, because someone has to be in his space, in his grill on every possession.
Kevin Lehman joining us here at 3:50 on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Some great basketball last night. We talked about it with Mike, but that Maryland-Nebraska game coming right down to the wire. Nebraska comes to Iowa City on Sunday afternoon to take on the Hawkeyes. So, you know, the Huskers kind of, they can't lose that one either. Nebraska coming off a loss. If Iowa loses tonight, you're going to have two teams really backed into a corner on Sunday.
Well, we've talked about the Big Ten before, guys. You know, Michigan State, I think, separated themselves at the top. But the middle and the bottom of the Big Ten is going to be a bloodbath throughout this. And you've got to really protect home court. That's what Purdue's going to try and do tonight. That's what we saw Maryland do, a young Maryland team against a very talented Nebraska team. So the same thing's going to happen when the Cornhuskers come to town for the Hawks. And, hey, I got a little tidbit for you guys. I was looking through this Purdue press release, the number of 40-point games, Carson Edwards has two. And, Mark, you're about my age. Think back in those 70s.
Rick Mount.
Yeah, can you guess how many 40-point games Rick Mount had in his career? Because freshmen weren't eligible, so he only played 3 years.
And he didn't have the three-point line either, Kevin. As you know, he probably had 15 or 20.
You're close. He had 13. And then the 30-point games, Rick Mount had 46 30-plus games without a three-point line.
Wow.
On that 69-70 season, he had games of high 50s and low 60s, I think.
Against Ralph Miller. It was like,
yeah.
Ralph Miller's his defense was let Rick get all he want and shut off the other four. And the Hawks went perfect in 70. They beat Purdue twice to win the title. But I can remember Rick Mount. I thought you'd appreciate that stat because you remember those teams also.
I can still see him falling out of falling off the court in the corner and just splash, just splash, one after another.
Well, you remember the story? He came into Carver Hawk, well, not Carver Hawk, it was the old field house and warmups, and he told the guy that ran the space, said, "Your basket's not accurate." And sure enough, they went out and measured it. It was 1 inch short of 10 feet.
I had not heard that story, Kevin.
Yeah, they had to readjust it before the game.
I'll be darned.
Can you imagine a guy that accurate that he can tell that's off like a quarter of an inch?
Jeez.
Hey, before we let you go, what's going to happen to Steve Alford? What's the next move?
I told somebody he'd be on ESPN calling in studio work before Saturday because what those guys do, we saw Bruce Pearl do it. Their agents get them, their face back in front of the camera. Therefore, their name and face is out there for that next job. But, you know, he left Iowa. They didn't part well. I got sons in Albuquerque. We were sitting in their living room when he left New Mexico. That was not a good party. And now he's got a bad departure with UCLA. So that's a great question. Where does he end up next? I assume he's going to stay in coaching. And there'll be somebody that reaches out to him. You would take a mid-major or he's already been through the Mountain West, so I doubt he'll get hired there. But I think the Alford watch is on for other guys. And also, I'm sure you're throwing this rumor around, Fred Hoiberg. Does he end up with the Bruins or does Fred stay in the NBA?
Mm. Yeah, that's a lot of people thinking Fred Hoiberg might end up in Westwood. So we'll see.
But you know, guys, once you get in the NBA, you're kind of in the NBA. And if you don't like to recruit, I can see Fred being assistant on the staff and getting another shot at a head coach sometime in the future.
Can see that as well. Can see that as well. Enjoy the hoops, Kevin, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hey, sounds great, guys, and Happy New Year. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Kevin.
Kevin Lehman joining us, the coach, talking college basketball with you here on KGYM. We'll take a quick break, come back, talk about the lanes last night. How did Bowling Night in America go? We'll talk about it after this.
Get out of the cold and warm up with the Cedar Rapids Colonel's annual Hot Stove Banquet. Wednesday, January 23rd, join the Colonel's at East Bank Venue and Lounge in downtown Cedar Rapids. Enjoy dinner, a silent auction, and the Minnesota Twins Winter Caravan, which will be emceed by Twins radio broadcaster Corey Provis and include Twins Minor League Player of the Year Alex Kirilloff. The Colonel's 1994 Midwest League Championship team will also be honored. Tickets are $50, and all proceeds will benefit the Colonel's Take the Lead Community Initiative Program and the Colonel's Foundation. Get your tickets now at colonels.com.
Every journey starts with a single step. On your retirement journey, make sure your first step is finding Medicare Supplement Insurance with Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. We want you to find answers to all your questions about Medicare. Go to wellmark.com/Medicare today and get your free Medicare Matters guide or find a local expert to talk to. Then, let the journey begin. Wellmark. Must reside in the service area of the plan. Wellmark Medicare Supplement Insurance Plans are not connected with or endorsed by any government agency.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. Indeed, the official sponsor Bowling Night in America, which was last night. The resumption of Bowling Night in America is kind of like the Big Ten schedule, if you will, I guess. We played the part of Iowa in the first two games.
Talk about digging yourself a hole. The Rusty Nails continue to do so. You were on. I was off last night. Doesn't matter. I'll take as much responsibility for scheduling. But Rusty Nails only won one out of three, lost the series, therefore plummeting to 10th place in the adult Evergreen League.
Still, as we heard, closer and closer to the Pen Pals.
15 weeks to go. Still possibilities, but it doesn't look good right now. There were a lot of good scores on the lanes last night. Mike Robinson and Warren Valena leading the way with 279 games. Close to perfection.
It's good for a Bronco fan.
Indeed.
Just kidding. We love the Broncos.
Robinson leads the way with a 743 series. Scott, there were 6 700s and 26 600s last night.
A lot of good bowling last night. A lot of good bowling. Maybe it was...
How many rusty nails among those 600s?
Corey
Starr.
Two. Rod just got it, 602, I think.
And you weren't far off.
I was just under 600 last night. But stop on by Mays City Bowl, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on Trent Street Southwest. And the phone number?
362-0136. Visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
Stop on by the Pro Shop. Rod's going to stop on by the Pro Shop. He has a couple things he wants to pick up to help out.
Psychology book?
Or... No. Some equipment. Need some equipment.
Hey, have a great game tonight. Should be a fun one. Dubuque Senior and Cedar Rapids Prairie.
Yeah, we got that on all three frequencies coming up at 7:30. Coming up next, Tom Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. They are live at Mulligan's out on Old Marion Road. They are next.